Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Solo. Ready for it? One more time. One more time. Welcome in to another edition of the PHNX Feedback Show. Of course, the last one without actual regular season baseball. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as your mayor, PHNX. This man next to me is your vice mayor and your thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman. We are still riding very high on the news that the Arizona Diamondbacks have signed pitcher Jordan Montgomery. Still doesn't seem believable.
Yeah, I still don't really believe it.
Lost a lot of sleep over it last night, just thinking about it, just dreaming, just thinking thoughts, you know, just having things swirl around in my head about starting rotations and who might be the best in baseball. But of course, we have one man who is an expert when it comes to snakes and snake handling, and it is the one and only Talkin' Jake, Jake Storiali from John Boy. Jake, what is up, my man?
What's going on, boys? How about an old friend of mine is a new friend of mine, Jordan Montgomery. And I'm happy to be here. I know that's like the corny do anything line, but I saw your DM come through and I was like, tomorrow's brutal. Like, I can't do tomorrow. I opened up the schedule, one gap on it, 4 to 4:30. Let's talk snakes. And then we got big news.
I know. That's huge. It's huge news. It's absolutely huge news. And of course, we did want to tell you, good job on defending the pool. I know things didn't go our way during the World Series, but we do appreciate you being on guard and preventing any shenanigans from happening in that area.
There was a guy begging me. It went from, hey, if we hit a grand slam, you'll jump in the pool, right? To, hey, if we hit a homer, you'll jump in the pool, right? To, at one point he was negotiating, if we get a runner on base, you'll get in the pool. And I was like, hey, man, like I would love to get in that pool, but we need some runs. And that's in our rear view now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now what we have is all of these offseason moves the Diamondbacks have made. And of course, the big news is Jordan Montgomery. We know you are very familiar with him. So I guess we wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, the Diamondbacks making this kind of 11th hour decision to bring on somebody of Monty's caliber.
Well, first, I mean, shout out to the Snakes front office, man. I mean, our talking baseball high level Snakes kind of going away line was like, all right, well, you know, I hope they add something. But you know, they just had some success. They're going to let the kids play. And then to add, you know, two of the best lefty starters in E-Rod and Monty, the additions to the lineup, like everyone was saying bye to Lourdes Gurriel. He resigns. Yeah. They trade for Eugenio. It's what they've done this offseason is what every team hopes for, right? Like a window has opened up. Let's go for it. In the Monty news, you know, everyone was looking for teams for him and Snell. Nothing became apparent. And you wonder, did the E-Rod injury matter at all? Is it the fact that all of Boris's clients ended up on the West Coast that the Snakes are like, well, if we're doing this, let's do it. But man, Monty's fun. He's kind of a low, I don't want to say low energy guy. That sounds rude. But he's, you know, he's pretty straight faced. But if he gets the big out, he's going to show you some emotion. He'll get jacked up. And I guess the only thing I'd warn Snakes fans is when he was with the Yanks, sometimes he'd go through stretches where like the first inning was tough because he was finding out what his second best pitch was going to be that day, whether it's kind of his curveball or the changeup. So sometimes in the first inning, he's searching a little bit. But when he gets in a rhythm, man, he's one of those guys you look up and it's like, wow, Monty's retired 12 straight. And you're like, wow, damn, let's go.
Jake, I'm still trying to just figure out how Jordan Montgomery signed a deal that only guarantees him $25 million. Like, as of a few months ago, I think we were all expecting it to be at least four times that, maybe up to six times that. Like, that was sort of the expectation. Obviously, he's not the only one in this kind of position. Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, really all of the Scott Boras clients seem to have gotten a lot less than we expected. What do you make of the market that has kind of taken shape for him, or I guess didn't really take shape for him, and just kind of the Boras situation as a whole, where he just wasn't able to get nearly as much money for his clients as a lot of people expected?
Jesse wants to say it that way, but he really means is Boras washed.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Right. Done or finished. I feel like I've had the conspiracy hat on a little too much recently between Shohei and now the Boras stuff,
right?
That this one hurt the most, and I'll circle to that a little bit. Boras has a huge crop of free agents next year, guys that like Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, guys that this won't happen to. So was there some owners, you know, we'll never say collusion. I don't know. I know for Snell, for Cody, for Matt Chapman, there were question marks coming into their free agency. You know, Chapman, after his first month, he had a rough go last year, and his numbers had been coming down. Snell, that's the one I defend the most, because, like, if we're just knocking people for winning Cy Youngs because they walk guys, like, I'm making a walk and single combined stat because it's the same thing. Like, I know we have whip and a walk is a single, and that's how I'm operating right now. Because the year before that, Dylan Cease finished second in the Cy Young when he led the AL in walk. So, like, there's a world where that can be not as damaging as it used to be previously. That's a whole nother speech.
Sure.
And then for me, Cody, he obviously had the injuries and the couple years where he wasn't good. Monty has been Monty. He eats innings. He gives you, you know, close to a quality start every fifth day. Should he be penalized that he's actually kind of peaking? Like in those playoffs when he was mowing down Yordan Alvarez, and he tapped into a little something more with St. Louis and Texas.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that should have been the easiest, hey, 4 or 5 years, somewhere between 20 and 30 million. Let's put him in our rotation.
Right.
And for him, that's the one that hurt the most, because, like, I half get the other guys. And if they have a monster year, which they're all capable of, they'll still get paid. Outside of Boras or whatever, if Snell shoves this year, he just won the Cy Young and shoved again, and his career, like, everything's good. Cody does it back-to-back years. So the Monty one hurt the most because he doesn't necessarily have the highest level stuff, but he's going to give you a good year, so his free agency is going to look very similar next year. I don't know, but I'm happy for the Snakes.
Yeah, we are too. Like, we're anything that happened that allowed this to be reality is fine with us, right?
But Derek doesn't care how it happened.
I don't give a shit. I'm fine with it. Let's just not worry about how it happened. Well, I will say, like, I do feel like time impacted this a lot. Like you said, I mean, there is something to be said about the owners basically maybe deciding, or maybe not, you know, maybe not getting together and deciding, but just overall having the feeling like, we're not going to let Scott Boras do this to us again. We're not going to make Scott Boras, you know, make us sign these clients to 14-year deals for billions of dollars and all of this stuff that's going on. So it felt like really it came down to, if Jordan Montgomery doesn't play this year, or if he doesn't sign soon with a team, it could jeopardize him playing this year. And then what happens to him? I'm not saying a team isn't going to get desperate due to injury and come to them, but it also feels like, you know, they kind of played their hand, and they made it out like, you know, some of his top clients could wait, and then time ran out on them, and they had to make a choice. $25 million is still a lot of money. It's more money than at least us on this side of the table is going to see. We don't know about you, Jake, but of course, we know that that's one of those situations where it's like, all right, that's not the worst deal. It's not the long-term deal you get at the age of 31. I think he's 31 right now.
31, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's an age where, like you said, he should be getting that 4, 5, 6-year deal at this point. It's kind of crazy that he's not, but still, at the very least, he can go out and play for a contender and prove himself, somehow need to prove himself, I guess, once again, that he's worthy of a longer deal.
Oh, hey, and not to crossfire at the owners too much, but I just kind of had a moment of realization that, you know, all of us today are talking about Boris. Like, in a way, this is a huge win for the owners who held out on signing Snell and Monty, signing Matt Chapman. So look at that little spin zone. And I mean, I'm still very much on that side of the table than closer to the owners. I'm debating if I'm getting Taco Bell for dinner tonight. So, you know, we're getting a couple YouTube views, but the wallet's not fat yet.
Jake, a big question that we've been asked in the last 24 hours, I guess less than 24 hours since this happened, is whether the Diamondbacks have the best starting rotation in all of baseball. I don't know if I'm quite there. I don't think I'm there. I look at the Dodgers and what they have. I know Yamamoto was not at all good in Korea, but I still think there's a lot of reason to believe he'll turn things around. The depth that they have is impressive. I look at what the Braves have, you know, with Strider and Freed at the top, Charlie Morton, Chris Sale. That's a pretty solid top four that they've got. The Mariners, of course, even though Brian Wu's going to miss time, their top four is still really, really good without him. Where do you see the D-backs stacking up here? Do they have the best rotation in baseball, or how close do you think they are?
I wouldn't say, I don't think they'll be the top rotation in baseball, and maybe even not top three, but what I'll say with that is that they can't be worse than, like, again, I'm guessing a little bit, but like eighth, like the talent they do have is pretty safe talent. Like Merrill Kelly, Jordan Montgomery, and I know Erod's banged up right now, but when those guys are pitching, they're pretty safe. Like a lot of those guys don't have bad numbers on their baseball reference page. And then once you move all the young guys down, Fott, Henry, Nelson, like, you know, the opportunity for those guys to be a five is insane. So, and obviously Zach Gallen is a guy at the top. One of the other rotations in baseball probably fully clicks, whether that's Dodgers. You know, there's a couple sneaky ones, like Toronto was under the radar really good last year, but I think when you look at kind of how we picture, I wonder where, when I was a spoiled Yankee fan growing up, and like what a team should feel like, you know, when you look at your rotation, every team wants a one. You'd love to have the two guy, and then you kind of innings eaters, or, you know, this guy might break out this year, a guy like Fott, and like that's, the Snakes have that, and now seeing all the young guys slide down the ladder, it makes them look that much better. It's probably a top five rotation if you're being safe.
Is it? Do you think it's safe to say that there's like 10, 15 other teams in baseball that should have given Montgomery the deal that the Diamondbacks just did?
Yes. And well, the other thing that I'm deciding how I want to attack it is, through this offseason, when contracts were rolling out, you know, you're kind of like, ooh, I like that contract. That's a good fit. And, you know, that was with Snell and Monty and a couple other things looming, that we kind of need to revisit how the pitching market went down. Like, even, I say this in an endearing way, Erod, 4 for $80, like, would Monty have taken that? And then what does each of their free agencies look? Sonny Gray got 3 for $75. Which is a one-third of Jordan Montgomery, which that doesn't feel right for the younger lefty pitcher who's peaking. And, you know, Sonny Gray did finish second in the Cy Young last year. Even Marcus Stroman signed for 2 for $38.5 or something like that, that we were kind of like, whoa, that's incredible value. And it still might be, but now seeing some of the other contracts, it's like, okay, that's a little more on par to what this free agency was. That if, you know, if a couple teams had the chance to do it over, you know, would you just pay an extra buck for Snell? Would you pay an extra buck for Monty? I don't know. I think there's a couple teams with slight buyer remorse. This is just shrapnel for no reason. The Cardinals got their work done early. The Cardinals signed Gibson and Lance Lynn, who, you know, they're looking for a lot of innings and those guys can give them to you. For $13 million and $11 million. And you just wonder, if you're spending that kind of money and those guys could have been XYZ, I don't know. different free agency.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of have that a little bit with JD Martinez. At least I do, because I'm a huge lover of JD Martinez.
And Derek still hasn't gotten over I'm that still the Diamondbacks did not sign
this Jordan Montgomery thing does not make me forget about that. In fact, it makes me go, wait, so you had JD Martinez money is what you're telling me. You had it. You had it because you spent it, so you had it. But, like, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's times where you might feel like maybe if a team did go out there too early, maybe, you know, just like a lot of things in life, like you didn't get a last-minute deal. You didn't get to shop – you know, kind of that bargain bin in a way where you have all of these very excellent players that were still left, you know, closer and closer to opening day. And I mean, obviously, we know that pitchers specifically can, you know, be behind tremendously because they don't start in spring training and don't get ramped up and aren't ready to go out there and throw 95 pitches on a given night. So it's a big deal for them to get out there. I just wanted to ask you, obviously, this impacts things greatly now. But what were your thoughts on the Diamondbacks offseason before this? I know you brought up a couple of the moves they made. And, like, had you already kind of given them a fairly good offseason grade for the moves they made prior to this?
Yeah, I think either end of February or early March, we kind of did a winners, losers of the offseason, not to be too clicky. And I think the Diamondbacks were close to consensus winners. I mean, E-Rod, again, that's a pretty safe bet. When you're adding a body to your rotation, Lourdes comes back. That's plug and play. The Jock Grichuk platoon, man. Like, I know it's, I know you've got some JD mania, but I wouldn't be surprised if those two outdo them on their respective side of the plates. Like, Jock has always killed righties, and Randall has always killed lefties. So, like, I love myself one platoon per team. And then I'm also an Eugenio Suarez guy. I think,
Gino,
you know, the way that we talk about innings for starting pitchers, Eugenio Suarez is going to be out there. He's going to hit home runs. And, you know, from a third baseman that's, you know, paid at his level, that's fine. Like, Mariners fans haven't been too happy with me because, you know, I was like, you still have to replace Eugenio. And they were hitting me with he strikes out a lot. And it's like, well, yeah, that's because he's trying to hit home runs and he does that and he plays every day. So, you know, Eugenio Suarez in the right lineup. And right now I see, you know, Fangraphs has him hitting 6 or 7. That's an awesome, like, fan favorite ball player. If you need Eugenio to be your 2 or 3 hole, your team might have some gaps, but that's not an Eugenio problem.
Yeah. No, that's a great point.
Last thing for me, Torrey Lovello said a couple weeks ago that he wishes the best players in the league would quit coming to the NL West. I'm guessing he's willing to make an exception for Jordan Montgomery.
So fast.
I think he's probably okay with what happened with Jordan Montgomery. But what do you make of just the NL West as a whole this offseason? I mean, it feels like the NL West made more moves this offseason than basically the rest of baseball combined, with what the Dodgers did, with everything the Giants have done in the last month or so. You know, looking at this division on paper, as much as I like the Montgomery move for the D-backs, I don't think it necessarily gives them, you know, makes them head and shoulders better than the Giants. I think they are better than the Giants, but it's not necessarily by an enormous margin given what the Giants did. What do you make of this division and kind of how it looks going into 2024?
It's kind of wild how it happened. I mean, we talked about the Boris Four this whole offseason. And then, you know, it feels like we've been waiting 3 years for the Giants' big offseason, and it didn't look like it was happening.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, it happened. Like, Jorge Soler is no joke. Matt Chapman, like, Snell, they went for it. Robbie Ray is supposed to come back in midseason. That guy has a sigh in the bag that, you know, they had their big free agency. Jung-Hoo Lee was $100 million. And then, so right when I was coming to grips with the Giants, I was like, you know what? I definitely have the Giants over the Padres. They traded for Dylan Cease. Man, that rotation is going to be a problem. Michael King is a dude. They've got four dudes in their rotation. You know, their lineup still looks a little funky to me. But if some of those kids click, they're going to be so, and that's before you get to the Dodgers. So,
yeah, right.
It's the NL West showed out this year, and I, you know, it's kind of a blessing for expanded playoffs, but there's also a chance that two NL West teams are going to be pretty devastated.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And that's I don't know. I know baseball's working to probably like another two-team expansion and a realignment. And if the divisions are like this, man, like shots fired at the Central, but like it's the East and the West right now.
Yeah.
How many teams, if they got placed in the Central, would either be a favorite or you'd be like, well, they could definitely win it.
Yeah.
And I think it's more than it should be.
Justin in our chat says, need Jake to tell Trevor how to pronounce Pavin's name. It's Pavin Smith. Pavin.
Not Pavin, I don't know.
Need to get that cleared. And I wore a shirt today of a lifeguard on it in honor of you, because we definitely have taken over. We know what the message was you were trying to send, and we are defending the pool here now this season. That's a big thing. We got a shirt that says defend the pool. We're ready to rock and roll, Jake. So we got you. We'll be out there. In fact, we're going to have a pool party on July 31st. So yeah. I don't know if you're free.
Okay.
But if you're free, maybe grab that private jet, because I know about the $25 million, like I said earlier. Just flying out. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'll DM Monty, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
July 31st? Okay.
It's a midweek game. I know it's not easy to make, but we'll try to make something
happen. Yeah, that might be tight.
Yeah, but hey, we appreciate you stopping by, man. We love that you love our Snakes, and we're really looking forward to watching this team be special this year.
I appreciate it. I'm excited to see everyone on Twitter late night for me this year.
That's right. We will be there. We will be there after dark for you. So thank you again for joining us, man.
Appreciate it, boys.
All right, see you later.
Thanks, Jake.
All right, make sure to follow him on Twitter at Talkin' Jake. He is the absolute best. And, of course, he's also – I know some of you still remember his projections, right? He loves the Snakes. He was just being realistic. Like this guy.
73 wins. See, 73 wins for the Diamondbacks last year.
But he is the best. So big shout out to him. Thank you for being here, of course, in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. And of course, drop us a like. We know Gabby would love it when you drop us a like. And of course, if you're listening on the audio podcasting side, we love our listeners. Make sure you're subscribed over there. Leave us a review. We always appreciate that feedback. And of course, those 5-star reviews very much help us out. Also, check out BetMGM Sportsbook. With all of this knowledge that we're passing down, you could get down on all of the baseball action. Future bets, opening day is here tomorrow. It's time to have some fun. Get down on the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android. And if you sign up using our code of PHNX and deposit at least $10 into your BetMGM Sportsbook account, place your first wager in that amount or more, and you will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your bet loses. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Of course, make sure to check out our boys over at the PHNX Bet Show for them to get you locked in on not only basketball as we wrap things up over there in the NBA, but as well as college basketball and baseball starting tomorrow. So, of course, sign up for BetMGM and use that bonus code of PHNX. Place your first sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile application. For at least $10, you will receive $1,500 in bonus bets back if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
We forgot to ask Jake about him appearing in Snakes Alive. We blew it, you guys. He did have a cameo in there. Even with his projections, he still had a cameo in there. Of course, I'm still waiting to see shirtless Derek over there in one of those episodes of Snakes Alive.
We got one more episode.
We do have one more episode. I'm dying to see if I made the cut. But
when did that happen?
Shirtless Derek was when we made it to the World Series.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the Dodgers series. It was the Philly series.
It was the Philly series. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It was after the Philly series. So that was the champagne bottle bat incident. I don't want to talk about it. That's all in the past. But if you want to see shirtless Derek, a good place to find him is at Gila River Resorts and Casinos, because he lives there sometimes by the pool with a drink in his hand. And you can too, because Gila River Resorts and Casinos offers an authentic and immersive experience. And of course, no one does it better. They have their huge gaming floor, slot machines, live gaming tables, all of that jazz. They also have the biggest casino sports book that you can find, and they have amazing dining options. So if you want to go, like some people ask me, like, Is it still this great experience if you're not a big gambler, not a big gamer? Absolutely. There's all sorts of options, including, like I said, sitting by the pool and drinking a frozen drink is probably the best way to spend your time. Head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what Next Level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details. Boy, there's people that are disappointed that I'm behaving myself. I think Rattlebacks was like, I thought Derek would already have $30 in the jar. I was behaving myself for the guests, but God damn it, we got fucking Jordan Montgomery. Let's go. I got this here just for that. Let's fucking go. All right. I'll put money in the jar later. I got it here. I brought money today.
Apologize to everyone whose ears are just blasted.
Yeah, no, they deserve
off.
That's all Rattlebacks' fault. But of course, here you got, I got cash right here. Don't worry. I got plenty of cash.
I can spot Derek a little. We're putting a 20 in there.
Yeah, I want to get off on the right foot. Like, I want to start things off so that I can say a lot of curse words because people are probably going to curse at me for this next segment that we're going to say. I don't know. I think my bold predictions are pretty fun. But Jesse and I decided that after MLB.com boldly predicted that the Arizona Diamondbacks were going to get back to the World Series and win it all, God bless you, Anthony Castro-Vince, we decided we would do some bold predictions of our own for the 2024 season. So, Jesse, do me a favor. You want to kick things off with your first bold prediction?
I will do that. So my first bold prediction for the Diamondbacks in 2024, I think it's pretty bold. I don't think it's outrageously bold, but I think it's pretty bold. Okay. Ketel Marte will finish top 10 in NL MVP voting. Top 10. He has finished top 10.
I thought
10.
These were bold takes, not just facts.
Yeah.
That's a spoiler, Jesse. That's not a prediction.
Right. Of course.
You know that.
Ketel Marte finished fourth in MVP voting in 2019. That, of course, was an enormous, enormous breakout season for him.
Yeah.
The baseball in 2019 was wild and crazy and went over the fence a lot. Despite that, Ketel Marte was still very, very good relative to the rest of the league. He had 32 homers that year.
He almost hit
329, I think it was. He had an extraordinary 2019 season. I don't know if I see him getting quite back to that point.
What happened? I have a question. What happened during the pandemic? Like, we had Ketel just hitting 320 regularly, it felt like, prior to that. And then, like, and it's not just Ketel. It's like all offense is, like, not as good ever since then. Unless you're talking about Luis Arraez, of course. But, like, yeah, this was crazy the way that, like, when you look back at some of those numbers from, like, 2010 to 2019, how much offense has kind of dropped off where you just don't see guys – with the crazy numbers that they had at one point. I don't know. I like to blame
2019 in particular was definitely a season for the baseball. Yeah. I don't know if the 32 homers that Ketel hit that year was ever going to be sustainable, but it was an extraordinary season for him. 2021, he came back, had a 909 OPS, hit 318. He didn't play as many games. He was hurt for a good portion of that season. But given what we saw from Ketel last year, you know, an 844 OPS in the regular season, how much he up the ante in the playoffs and got even better, the NLCS MVP, what we've seen from him in spring training, I feel pretty good about being bullish on Ketel Marte in 2024. I almost went top five in MVP voting. I kind of decided that was just a little bit too far out of bounds for me. But top 10, I think, is still bold and something that I could still see happening given what we've seen from Ketel recently.
Out of bounds for him. Did you hear that? We are talking about bold takes, and he couldn't bring himself to go that far.
Do you want me to just say he'll win the MVP? Is that the only acceptable answer here?
That's what we're talking about. Rattlebacks has a bold prediction. He says Jesse actually drives a Kia. That's a bold prediction. How dare he? It's a Honda. Anyway,
I was going to say
definitely not a RAV4.
I was going to say that I think Ketel will start at second base in the All-Star game, but I think that's even less bold.
Yeah, I actually do think that might be less bold.
Yeah.
There's not as much. I mean, it's Arraez. It's Ozzie Albies. I don't think the path for him to start at second base is all that difficult, even though he wasn't even an All-Star last year, which kind of seems
insane.
Crazy in retrospect.
Get out of my way. I have a bold prediction to take.
Okay, give me something that's actually bold. What do you got?
Blaze Alexander will not only make the opening day roster for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but he will become a household name in 2024. Maybe just in Arizona, but still a household name in 2024. Blaze Alexander. That's what I'm saying. Breakout year. He's going to take over at shortstop. He's going to be incredible.
I think Damon hates you.
That's why it's a bold take to say it in front of Damon while he's sitting here producing our show. Because this man could easily
jump the table.
Sabotage us right now. He's crazy right now. Damon, stay over there. Stay over there. Stay over there. Stay there. Calm down.
Hey guys, I had to mute Derek. Sorry. I didn't want him to continue spewing this horse shit on our airwaves.
All right. Well, there's that.
So that's not very concrete though. He's gonna become a household name.
How do we measure that? I need something more concrete than that. He had a chance to attack me for it prior to this, but no, now he waits until on the show. That means he's going to become a star in 2024. How many guys on the Arizona Diamondbacks team emerged as stars last year, right? Gabby Moreno, I'm not going to say Corbin Carroll because everybody loved Corbin Carroll. They were just waiting for him to pop off, right? But Jerry P., right, became an all-star last year. He went from a guy that most people on most in other cities would not even know to becoming an all-star, right? And
sure,
you know, you can factor in what happened during the postseason that gave them that exposure as well. So that's a little different. But maybe that's what I'm talking about with Blaze. Maybe Blaze has his big moment in the postseason this year and becomes a star. I just think he has star potential written all over him, and that's the reason why I've been advocating so much. I hate what it means for Perdomo. I hate what it means for everything else. But really, at the end of the day, what we want is the best absolute player playing for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I think Blaze Alexander could be that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so you're basically saying like Blaze Alexander is going to have a breakout season, not necessarily like, oh, he's going to hit 300 or whatever, but just like he's going to do maybe what like Perdomo did last year, where he really burst on the scene and became an everyday player.
I would say almost more like Gabby. Okay. Like, I feel like Gabby is a little bit more of a star with Arizona sports fans, especially non-baseball fans, than Perdomo.
Blaze is definitely, like, if Blaze were an everyday player, I could definitely see fans gravitating toward him, for sure. I mean, he has an incredible baseball name, and he has a cannon of an infield arm. So, okay, all right, yeah, that's good.
All right, go. Number two
so
for you.
I have, maybe this one isn't that bold. I'm kind of curious how you guys feel about this. My second bold prediction is that Merrill Kelly will finish higher in Cy Young voting than Zach Gallen.
That could have been possible last year.
Merrill Kelly did not appear has never appeared on a Cy Young ballot.
Right.
Last year he did not get a single vote.
Right.
Crazy.
Which, yeah, I mean, you could maybe make an argument that he should have. I think the fact that he missed a few starts.
The cramping, the blood clot issue.
If Merrill Kelly has 200, 210 innings like Zach Gallen did last year, maybe he does. You know, maybe he does take some of those votes. But yeah, that's, you know, just from what we saw last year in the playoffs in particular with Merrill, the way that he just shined when the moment was brightest. Projection systems continue to not like Merrill Kelly, but I think people who watch this team on a day-to-day basis understand that he just knows how to pitch. And it's hard for me to say that like what the computers say doesn't matter at all, because that's so anti everything deep within me.
Yeah, I know it is. But let me remind you that FanGraphs has said with the addition of Jordan Montgomery that the Diamondbacks are going to win less than one more baseball game. Your computers are stupid, Jesse. 84. Throw them in the trash. Throw the entire thing in the trash. The entire website goes in the trash when you tell me adding Jordan Montgomery adds less than one win to the Diamondbacks total. Get out of here. None of this makes sense anymore. You guys don't even make sense. What is war good for anymore, huh? Absolutely nothing. But
it really is one win. Yeah, I think before FanGraphs projected win total for the D-backs was like 83.2 or 83.3. Now it's 84.4. Their chance to make the playoffs went from like 45% to 51%. It's wild how like stubborn the computer is. But yes, Merrill Kelly, I would not be surprised at all if Merrill Kelly came out and had a breakout season. And that's not to say Zach Gallen is going to be poor this season.
Nor does it mean Merrill Kelly's really having a breakout season. It's just more about him getting noticed, right? Like, it's more about him maybe being a little bit better than he was last year, which would absolutely be enough for him to be in that conversation for the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he had a better ERA than Zach Gallen.
Yeah,
did he end the year with a better ERA? Because I know at one point he did. Yeah,
so yeah, 3.329 compared to 3.47 for Gallen. So yeah, it's not like insanely bold, but the fact that he's never been on a Cy Young ballot before, I still think it's fairly bold.
All right, my bold take, number two. You guys are going to like this one. The Arizona Diamondbacks are going to win 95 games and the National League West.
Wow.
The division.
Wow.
The division. Yeah, I'm saying it. The Diamondbacks, 95, maybe even 95 plus wins, Jesse. and the National League West Division. The Dodgers, they got too much shit going on over there, man. They're like, you saw Mookie Betts try to make that throw at shortstop like he was Derek fucking Jeter. Get out of here with that. Here, Jesse, I'm gonna put my money in there.
Generationally bad infield.
Generationally bad.
It's gonna be bad.
I do not.
It's nasty.
I'm not worried about Mookie Betts and shortstop. Let me tell you, I'm not worried about this Dodgers team. They have their own battles that they're fighting. I think this is gonna be one of those years where you absolutely, even though all the pressure is on them, and rightfully so, because their team looks extraordinary, that pressure might be too much for them.
I'm trying to figure out what I think is more bold, the Diamondbacks winning 95 games or the Dodgers winning less than that.
Yeah. Well, I
think both of those things in and of themselves are pretty bold.
I feel like with the competition level in the National League West and how often we have to play each other, it's not out of the question to say that the Dodgers lose more games than we anticipate to teams like the Padres and the Giants, and especially the Snakes.
Yeah.
All right.
That's bold.
Final bold prediction
that
from
is,
you?
That is bold.
I covered mine up. I'm not letting you know this last one.
Okay. All right. My third one is that Alek Thomas will have an OPS of over 800.
I love it.
Which I think is pretty bold. That is pretty bold.
We would be damn good if he does that.
Alek Thomas, yeah, that would be a full-on breakout season. We like that. I know, you know, an 800 OPS is maybe not like, that's not necessarily star level performance, but with how good of a center fielder Alek Thomas is,
yep,
if he had an OPS north of 800, he would immediately become one of the best center fielders in all of baseball.
Yep.
And you know, he was good in the playoffs. I think D-backs fans generally have a fairly positive view of him given how young he is. But the reality from a numbers standpoint is that he's had a 75 OPS plus on the dot in both of his seasons in the majors. It was 75 in 2022. It was 75 again in 2023. He still has a lot to prove, but we've seen him make some adjustments this spring. He's done, I think, a better job of kind of staying closed rather than flying open toward the first base side, which seemed to cause him to roll over a whole bunch last year. We saw a lot of 4-3 groundouts. We haven't seen quite as much of that in spring training. So, yeah, I mean, and also just the fact that he has, you know, almost 1,000 major league plate appearances under his belt. Not everyone comes to the majors and rakes instantly. It can take some time. And this could be the year where Alek Thomas really, really, you know, emerges into a very, very good baseball player.
I don't know if my final bold take is a good thing if it happens or a bad thing. But my final bold take is that Gabriel Moreno will lead the Arizona Diamondbacks in home runs.
Wow.
Isn't that insane, Jesse? That's the one I was like, Derek, you're crazy, dude.
You're crazy for this one. First of all,
if he has more bombs than Christian Walker or Eugenio Suarez, I'd be shocked.
Is 32 home runs that out of the question for Gabriel Moreno?
Yes, I think so.
Is it
32? Probably.
Is 32?
Yeah, 32 seems like a stretch. But not, I mean, it's not really that.
If they had a better option at backup catcher, I would think maybe, but I'm not.
Give me 25.
Playing time is going to be a big factor there because, yeah, you know, regardless of what the backup catcher situation looks like or how good it is, yeah, they're not going to play Gabby Moreno more than probably 120 games in 2024. If you're hitting 30 bombs in 120 mm-hmm. games, mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. insane level production. I mean, yeah, you're like a true 40 home run hitter at that point.
It's like Gabby and Adley Rutschman are the two top catchers in the league. If that happens,
Elise gets where I'm going with, because she's suggesting not that Gabby is going to hit 35, but more that he's going to lead the team with 24, yeah, and that's going to be a bad thing.
If that happened, it is far more likely it would be a very bad thing than a very good thing, because there's a lot of guys on this team that could hit 20, 30 homers, right? Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Christian Walker, Gino Suarez, Corbin Carroll. There's a lot of guys that I am projecting to hit more. Alek Thomas, 800 OPS doesn't necessarily mean 30 bombs, but yeah, I think it, I don't think that would necessarily be a good thing. But yes, could Gabby hit 20 home runs in 2024? I think he could. I'm not expecting it, but I think that Gabby Moreno has the raw power ability to do that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what kind of approach. Yeah, the playing time and what kind of approach he takes at the plate.
Because he could go back to taking what's given to him. And that's not terrible, because this team is going to be able to generate base runners. I mean, power probably is going to be the problem. Not nearly as much, though, as it was last year, because they've added some power. They've added some pop here with Gino and Jock Peterson and the names they've had, even Grandel Grichuk. So, I mean, these guys are going to contribute in ways that are going to make this team a better team offensively. But I think the idea here is that you're right. Gabby does focus more on what gave him success last year offensively at the plate.
Yeah.
It was more of the Gabby Lane, you know, hits versus it being.
That's what it was in like the first half of the season. And then in the second half, after he returned from the shoulder injury and into the playoffs, we saw a different version of Gabby Moreno where he was tapping into that power more. I don't think 20 homers is totally impossible.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys. We love your bold
takes. Can I throw in a couple?
I would love to
hear. What do you got, Dan?
I think Kevin Ginkle makes the All-Star game.
Okay.
Wow. Someone said 20 saves before the All-Star game.
Yeah, a couple of the chat's really been like, we're on like telekinesis right now. Like, like I'm thinking the same thing because my last one was Ryan hit it on the money. Ohtani goes to federal prison.
Oh my God.
That's number three.
I mean, it's the reason why they wanted him to walk back that comment about the wire transfers, or at least, you know, what was interesting about that. Speaking of that, I know we don't want to talk about the Ohtani situation anymore, but the wildest part about Ohtani discussing, you know, in the press conference that day when things like were off with with his interpreter explaining everything to him was when they were having the team meeting. That's wild to me that was the moment where like he was maybe picking up enough from him talking to the team in English for him to realize that he was lying about what he was saying. Or whatever. I don't know. This whole situation, much like Jake said, has me feeling very much like a conspiracy theorist when we know what happens. That's all going to get swept under the rug and no one's going to get any. The only guy that's going to suffer anything here is the guy that probably should, which is Ipe. But we're not going to talk about that anymore. We got opening day. And last time I checked, Ohtani does not play for the Rockies. So we're focusing right now on the Rockies and then the Yankees. Much to Jake's dismay, but we do thank you guys, of course, for being here. We thank you guys more for being diehard, by the way. Becomes Ohtani.
That's good.
Well,
that's good.
What's going to happen after he commits assault on me for the things I said about Geraldo.
I was going to say it's going to happen after the Cardinals trade down and don't draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't have capacity to deal with that amount of anger right now that I'm hearing from the PHNX Cardinals show. But what I do want to tell you guys is, of course, the best way to watch this show and any show on the PHNX network is with a Frosty Four Peaks in your hand. Right now, Four Peaks, of course, introduced their brand new beer, their Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ale. Of course, that's perfect. It's perfect for the golf time of the year. Make sure to check out this collab between Four Peaks and Bad Birdie. Super drinkable and the perfect companion at the tee box or in your fridge.
Owen says it's better than Wow Wheat.
That's a bold take.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a bold take. I need this beer in my hand.
And I need Max Simpson to get us some goddamn beer in the office.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Juicy Golden Ale.
Me and Damon have our little stockpile of hidden beers and, you know, other THC drinks that we're not letting anybody else know about that we're hiding. But we need some more beer, especially that beer if it's better than Wow Wheat. Of course, you know, I think Daniel Kasten had an amazing video he put on Twitter, which was basically us at Four Peaks listening to the waitress tell us the specials, knowing we're just going to order chicken tendies. Like that's, I mean, you could tell me all the specials you want, but get the chicken tenders at Four Peaks. They're unbeatable. Visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Check out Four Peaks Brewer at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks. And of course, please drink responsibly. I have a drawing to give away two tickets that we are going to do at the end of this episode. So I know Ryan, I believe in the chat, asked about it. We do have all of your names preloaded and we're ready to rock and roll to pick a winner here shortly. But in the meantime, I did want to tell you about Arizona Lottery. Of course, we know all about their azadventure.com promotion going on right now, where they are encouraging us to get out and check out this beautiful state of ours here in Arizona. Arizona Lottery says proceeds from the ticket sales from their Arizona Adventure promotion support environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. Of course, you can play with their brand new lottery tickets. You can also play by entering tickets online for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. And of course, the fun one where Jesse takes his RAV4 is you can check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state, from Flagstaff to Yuma. So Arizona Lottery, not just about playing games and winning prizes. It's also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Oh, Jesse, I know we are not done talking about Jordan Montgomery, and I am glad we are not. Of course, we have here a lot of information now that we have to talk about, or at least consider when it comes to Montgomery. I mean, we know obviously he doesn't fix the Erod situation, considering he will not start for most likely a few weeks after joining the team. But there's also some more interesting stuff involving like his contract and the ability to sign a qualifying offer or offer him a qualifying offer?
Yeah, in order to be eligible for a qualifying offer, a player has to be on the roster with that team for the entire season. So it appears that if Montgomery, and I'm not sure if it's the 40-man roster or the active roster itself, Montgomery is certainly not going to be on the active roster. But I think it's also possible that he won't, that the move won't even be made official until after opening day. And in so doing, that would make Jordan Montgomery not eligible for a qualifying offer this offseason, which would help his case, right? Jordan Montgomery, if he does wind up just spending 1 year with the Diamondbacks, he would rather not have a qualifying offer offered to him and then therefore a draft pick attached to him, right? That's an advantage that he has, that he's had this offseason, is that because he was traded last year, he wasn't tied to draft pick compensation. The Diamondbacks are not losing a draft pick in signing Jordan Montgomery. And it looks like the same will be true if he were to hit the market next year, because he will not be on the roster as of opening day. I'm not totally sure whether it also would include the 40-man roster. If it did, then that could keep the Diamondbacks from making this move official until after opening day. I imagine Montgomery's camp would rather not have a qualifying offer attached to him. So absolutely, maybe that was part of the negotiation process. But we don't know when this is going to be made official, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't made official until after the season actually starts.
We talked about things that impacted his decision to come to Arizona. That very well could be one of those behind the scenes negotiations that did allow him to take Arizona's offer, whereas maybe another team offering the same amount wasn't willing to do that.
Yeah.
And also it helps the Diamondbacks out a little bit to not have to consider that, because how are they going to get Jordan Montgomery on the roster right now, considering their 40 man is at 40?
Yeah.
I mean, Elise is saying, when do you think opening day rosters will be announced? They're really taking it down to the minute, to the last minute with this decision. And they absolutely are.
And it really depends on whether this Montgomery move is being made official before opening day. If it's not, which is kind of, my guess for right now, then the Diamondbacks have to, they might not have to clear a 40-man roster spot, right? If they're doing the thing where they're keeping Rivera and Jace Peterson and sending Blaze Alexander down, then they're good from a 40-man roster standpoint. But if they are, if they do want to, move on from one of those guys, then that would open the door for them to make the move with Jordan Montgomery. So, we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But yes, they are going to have to make a corresponding 40-man roster move to get Montgomery on the team. And if it's not Rivera or Peterson, then it's a little tricky. I guess Pavin Smith would be an option there. He's on the 40-man. You look at the pitchers that the Diamondbacks have. I don't think you're moving on from Andrew Saul Frank or Justin Martinez or Corbin Martin. The D-backs in a bit of a tricky spot when it comes to freeing up that 40-man spot.
Someone in the chat is asking about Joey says, what channel is the D-backs on for MLB package?
Yeah.
Again, Elise, known baseball GM, answers him by saying they haven't announced channels yet. Another last minute decision. That part's wild to me. I do know that they have it. Like they have it. It feels like they have it figured out. I know, for instance, on DirecTV, like I said before, I believe Bally's used to be on 686. And when I watched one of the spring training games, they had it on 689. Which is right there with their other sports networks like Root and the other things that you can get on DirecTV. Makes a lot of sense that it would be there, but I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if they're actually going to leave it there, if they're going to change it. And I agree that there is probably, this is probably not ideal. I know a lot of people are still confused about the TV deal stuff and whether or not they're actually going to be able to watch it. If you have cable of any way, DirecTV, Cox here locally, Dish, it's going to be on there. There's not a separate package, and it's not a matter of them not airing it on those cable channels. But MLB, I think, is waiting entirely too long for this to happen, because
it's because they're negotiating, right? Yeah. They want to get as much money as they possibly can from all these cable distributors. And so they're going to try to drag it on as long as possible. They're doing the Scott Boras thing, and it's probably going to end the same way that it did for Scott Boras, where the Diamondbacks might not get as much money as they're hoping to get. But yeah, I imagine that's the holdup here. Derek Hall told us a few days ago that the negotiations between MLB and those cable distributors were still happening. And he did say that it could take all the way right up until opening day. And I mean, that's exactly what seems to have happened. So we should know tomorrow. We should know before the game starts. You know, you should find out what channel to turn your TV to. I wouldn't be too concerned, though, about not having access to the games. I think if you have one of those, you know, the Cox or DirecTV or whatever it is, I think you can be pretty confident you'll be able to watch.
Well, Keith Law was fairly confident in the Diamondbacks' acquisition of Jordan Montgomery that 29 other teams screwed up.
Yeah.
And he tweeted out as such. This is what we have in regards to this tweet from Keith Law, including an incredible response from our guy and our closer, Paul Sewald. Keith Law said in regards to Ken Rosenthal's tweet about Jordan Montgomery being in agreement with the Diamondbacks for $25 million this season, he said 29 teams should hang their heads in shame over this.
Yeah.
And Paul Sewald responded saying, not the good guys, though. Sunglass emoji, snake emoji. I don't know what I like more about this. The fact that Paul Sewald responded at all, the fact that he called the Diamondbacks the good guys, which we've been calling them for a very long time, or the fact that he felt the need to add the deal with it, sunglasses emoji, and a little snake. I think it might be that last part.
A couple thoughts here. So first of all, Keith Law is right. We touched on that yesterday. 29 teams probably should hang their heads in shame over this, because basically every team in the league could have used Jordan Montgomery. And, you know, I don't think any D-backs fans are disappointed that the D-backs were the beneficiaries of that. But it is still like I still think this is a move that shouldn't have been possible for the Diamondbacks. He deserved more. He deserved a bigger guarantee than $25 million after having a 3.20 ERA in almost 200 innings and leading the Rangers, you know, being a big part of the Rangers' run to winning the World Series. I mean, you can't really ask for a better walk here than the one that Jordan Montgomery just had. But as
we
far
need
as
to get him a world's greatest dad mug, that's what we need to get him. Everybody's saying best dad ever, right?
Sewald. Yeah. And as far as Sewald is concerned, I remember Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick at the very first day of full spring training. They told us that someone had come, or maybe it was multiple players, had come into their office and thanked them for investing into the team.
Yeah.
And in an ESPN story several days later, Paul Sewald, I don't know if he was one of the people, but he was, you know, maybe there were multiple people, but he was one of the people at the very least who came into their office and thanked them for spending money. And there's some history there with Paul Sewald. He's coming over from a Mariners team that has been criticized quite a bit in the last couple of years for not being willing to take that next step and investing in the team, for being close, having the core to win and just not pushing all the chips in. Paul Sewald with the Diamondbacks is not having that problem, right? And if I'm him, I'm probably really happy to be in a place that's been willing to make those investments.
Well, we do have unfortunate news. I know all of this has been very happy, but the injury bug does not stop biting the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have lost Jordan Lawler. As Jesse said, what are we going to do in Reno for a shortstop now if Blaze doesn't go down there? This son of a bitch. But of course,
me, Derek, and Espo just all yell at Jesse at the same time.
We just couldn't believe the audacity that this man had.
I was pointing to a potential lack of organizational depth. It was too high level of a conversation for all you guys.
Jesse just said, you're not intelligent enough for this.
Really,
I just said you don't know balls.
Yeah, that's what he said. But of course,
no, they could find someone to play shortstop in Reno, but yes,
Nick
this
Picoro
is,
reported this.
Yeah, this is a big loss for the Diamondbacks for sure. Man, these first round picks just can't seem to catch a break injury wise.
I know,
but yeah, Nick Picoro reported just before we went live that the Diamondbacks shortstop Jordan Lawler tore a ligament in his right thumb and will require surgery, an injury that will likely sideline the club's top prospect for at least the first 2 months of the season. So you're not talking about just a few weeks here. This is going to really butt into his season, which is unfortunate. You know, not just for the Diamondbacks, but for Lawler himself, you know, trying to build on the season he had last year. And I think the first few months of the season were going to be really important for him and trying to prove that he could really rake in Reno and earn that call up back to the big leagues. Probably not going to see Lawler in the big leagues for a good while at this point.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's unfortunate, but the Diamondbacks do have depth there as long as they keep Blaze Alexander on the roster. And I will go to whatever. I don't care if it's a bus station. I don't care if it's Sky Harbor. I'll go wherever I need to go, and I will park my car in front of whatever door I need to park it in front of to make sure Blaze Alexander doesn't leave. But, of course, I'm very excited, Jesse. I can't stop thinking about opening day. And, I mean, the Diamondbacks just added a lot of wood to the fire, really, when it comes to this Jordan Montgomery thing.
It's going to be sad if the move isn't official because, how cool would it be for D-backs fans to, obviously Montgomery's not going to pitch on opening day, but just for him to be in the ballpark, to see him in the uniform, that would be really cool. Yeah. And I don't know if we're going to be able to get that.
But I did want to ask you, I know you're such a huge fan of baseball, at least I think you are. What are you looking forward to most tomorrow? I know that we all have our own things. I'm not talking necessarily about performance on the field, because I know you want to go in there and talk about how much, the vertical movement, pitches are going to have and such. But is there a favorite moment of you that you look forward to?
Jesse's looking forward to looking at Baseball Savant.
Oh, he loves it. He loves it. There's fucking horizontal and vertical break now in Chase Field. There's also exit velo on. Like, he doesn't have to go to StatCast. He doesn't have to go to Baseball Savant. He's got it all right in front of him.
I think they had exit velos in there last year. Did they? They just moved it
I thought that's where the two pitching matchups were last year, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, they had exit velos on the right field side.
Oh, on the right field side.
By the out-of-town scoreboard, I guess, if we can call it that. So what am I most excited about for tomorrow? I just enjoy all of the pregame stuff before opening day.
The bunting, the flyover, the everything. Yeah. Like, it just feels very special. It feels like, it feels like, the pomp and circumstance is very much part of baseball.
Yeah, and I mean, the last time I try to block the exhibition games out of my mind because they're not real and they don't count and there's no energy in the stadium because it's an exhibition game. But the last time that we covered a real baseball game at Chase Field, it was the World Series. And there was a lot of excitement in that building and a lot of energy. And they did the flyover there, too. And they did a lot of the cool pregame stuff there as well. So I'm excited just to be back in that ballpark. And it's not going to be the World Series. It's one of 162 against a pretty bad Colorado Rockies team. But just as a baseball fan in general, nothing beats opening day.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I guess I am looking forward to the brisket in the press box.
And
the
cake
in the press box.
Yeah, they feed us. They feed us
the opening day cake and the opening day brisket. And that's
huge upset. Korean pork belly nachos.
Yes. Yeah, this food's free though on opening day. And that's the big difference.
Oh, is it? No, I didn't even know.
Yeah. Derek, I thought you would crawl across the Saharan desert.
Well, here's the thing. I'm conflicted about the Korean pork belly nachos because they replaced the crispy bao buns,
which is an absolute
pork belly nachos.
It's an absolute travesty.
I mean, this is don't pit me against two of my favorite things, right? So now I'm conflicted. And with all of the improvements in the ballpark, we couldn't have just made a Korean food stand? I love Korean food. Korean barbecue, Korean pork belly nachos, Korean bao buns, Jesse, it would go electric. It would go electric, right?
Yeah.
They moved Chef Tilder's gyros into an actual stand now. It's not just a little thing. There's all, I could go on for an entire another hour about food, but this man needs to get to the ballpark. I kind of need to get over there too. And you guys need to know who won the tickets that we are giving away today.
Yes.
For all transparency, Jesse will be my monitoring system, but see all those wonderful colors? That's all of your wonderful names that entered into our contest yesterday with your little baseball emojis. And now, with one click of a button, I get to change the fate of one of you. I get to forever change history and the direction of your lives with the click of one fucking button. I feel so powerful. I don't want to do it yet. I just want to sit here and wait in anticipation. But here we go. Let's see what we got. The wheel is spinning, and Jesse Friedman, if you would, please announce the winner of the tickets.
All right. I'm probably going to butcher. Is it done? Okay. It's probably going to butcher this name, but our winner is John Hallinan.
John Hallinan. Are you here, John? Because
John,
I know
this
sucks.
John does have to be here in
John
the chat.
John has to be here to win. So maybe those of you that didn't win, maybe John's not here. Maybe John's listening to this afterwards and realizing what a huge mistake he made by not getting off of work to watch our show at 1 p.m. I don't know. Do I wait? John, you have a number of seconds before Jesse is going to demand that I re-spin this wheel. It would appear John might not be here, so
I think we gotta spin the
wheel
again.
Should we wait till 2:07? Sometimes it's a little bit of a delay.
We can definitely wait because we have a backup winner. We have a backup winner. So if John isn't here, our winner is then Brandon. Brandon, again, you said you're going to butcher
Paredes?
This name. Paredes?
I think.
Is Brandon Paredes in the chat? See, we'll keep doing this for a long time, by the way. I'll let Jesse leave. I'll just keep sitting here
this
pressing
the button.
This is good podcasting. All right. Well, I know there is someone here right now that's probably figuring out how to change their name to John Hallinan or maybe, you know.
You really shouldn't be giving them that idea.
I know. You're right. I guess. I mean, it is what it is. But let's see if we can get somebody that is here in the chat. John Hallinan has won twice, ladies and gentlemen.
What are the odds?
This is incredible. Oh man. All right. Well, I guess we'll keep doing this until we pick a winner. But some people are going to be very sad. Oh my God! Oh, I thought it was going to be Elise. Sorry, Elise.
Wow, you just had to. Elise didn't need to know that.
That felt mean.
Yeah, that was rude. I'm sorry, Elise.
Is Aaron L. in the chat? Aaron L., I was very specific about these rules, I thought, yesterday when I said you had to be present to win. I guess I have to remove Aaron L. now, too, unless Aaron L. is here. So far,
yeah, we'll give Aaron L. a few seconds.
I will give
this
him.
This is crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like why sign up if you're not going to show up?
Why sign up
if
you're not going to be here the next day to win it? I don't have an answer for you on that. And people are saying fixed and rigged. Trust me, if I rigged it, it would be for one of you guys.
Yeah, we would have rigged it here. So that we didn't have to do this for 20 minutes.
In the chat, right? Transonic 8 is Transonic 8. That Jesse's supposed to be my audit firm here.
I'm just waiting for you to say a name of someone that's like actually commenting in the chat.
I'm trying to run this fairly, but if I could, I absolutely would have done this. Ooh. We got Chris C. I know Chris C.
I think we know Chris.
Is here.
I think Chris C
was the guy yesterday that was asking me over and over and over again, when are we going to do the contest? Chris, if you're not here, I've given up hope altogether on this entire process. Chris, you have let me down. You've let the people down. You've let yourself. I feel bad for all of these people that are all going to listen to this afterwards and realize.
I just
that they
don't
were
get.
Here.
I think we have more live viewers today than we did yesterday. How is it? There's a bunch of people who were here yesterday that are not here today.
I don't have an answer for you on that, but
I don't know if that person's in the chat either.
He is.
I think he is.
I'm ready. Oh, wait. Is Aaron here? Aaron is here. Where's Aaron? They said he's here.
Okay.
I don't see
where
that.
Is it? Okay. There
Aaron
he is.
Al
there
here.
He is.
All right, all right, Aaron. All right. Aaron, you're our guy. You got two tickets. So congratulations to Aaron L. I'm glad you're here. And you get those tickets. So, of course, make sure to go ahead and reach out to us.
Stop the count.
Stop the count. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. Aaron L. was catching up, and he got here, but we're taking the L out of your name, pal, because you're Aaron W. now. You won those two tickets to opening day. So congratulations to you. Thank you guys all for entering and for being here. We're looking forward to an incredible season. So, oh my God, I cannot wait to watch baseball tomorrow. In the meantime, you can make sure to follow us on Twitter. Aaron, that's where you're going to get at us. Unless Aaron, do you have a Twitter? I should ask you that while we can still communicate, because after the show ends, who knows if we lose you. But we definitely can be reached on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, Damon is the people's producer. He's at Damon Dog. That's D-A-W-G. We are Damon's dogs. Bark, bark, bark. Our show, of course, is at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again so much for your time. We appreciate you being here. Aaron, make sure to reach out to us on Twitter so we can get you those tickets ASAP. We, again, congratulations to you. And we love all of you guys. Thank you again for being here today. Thank you to Jake for taking some time to stop by and talk about his snakes. And, of course, we hope you guys all have a wonderful night. We will see you on opening day. We got a pregame show tomorrow and a postgame show. So we are doing it big. Make sure to keep it locked in right here to PHNX. And, again, we thank you for your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but, damn it, it's so much more fun on opening day.